Good morning. Bring Christian greetings to each of you in Jesus' name this morning. Bring Christian greetings to you as well from the Eastern Shore of Maryland and from the Salisbury congregation. It's a pleasure to be here with you this morning and to worship with God's people. Almighty God, how great thou art. You have no ending, you have no start. Appreciated that song. And as we were studying the Sunday school lesson, and the thought came out that Joshua, he's seen this man, and he asked him, he said, "Are you for us or are you against us?" He did not know who he was meeting. He did not know the person that he was encountering. But when he realized who he was encountering, that question went away. It wasn't for, "Are you for me or against me?" but "Am I for you? Am I for you?" And he fell down on his face and worshiped. And you know, that's the question that each one of us needs to answer. You know, and then the brother also mentioned about this man that said when he gets to heaven, he's going to have questions for God that God's going to have to answer. You know, Job had those same questions as well. And he said, "I'm going to demand of God that he answers." But when God talked to him and he's seen the glory of God, he said, "I'm going to put my hands over my lips and I'm not going to talk anymore." You know, when we come to face with the greatness of God, we have no more answer. And that was a challenge to me. I appreciated the devotions and the Sunday school lesson. This morning for a message, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, I'd like to look at verses 13 through 16, but let's begin reading at the beginning of the chapter, Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Jesus, as he was bringing out these, what we call the Beatitudes, and he's bringing these blessings to the future church, or the church of God. You know, the true church of God has all these Beatitudes in them. And he's blessing the church of God. You know, I think he's given a picture of Christ's church. And we see that through the ages, how Christ's church has filled out these Beatitudes. But then in verse 13, he says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." The title of my message this morning is, "Ye are the light of the world." And I find it interesting that Jesus brought out verses 13 through 16 right after the Beatitudes. Right after he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." You know, he's talking about a people that in the world's eyes are not fulfilling their full potential, maybe. But when we fulfill the Beatitudes, then we are a light to the world around us. I think that's what he's saying. "Ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So a little bit of thinking about light. God created light on the first day of creation. That was what created the first day, was light and darkness, when he created light and darkness. So it was created as we know it on the first day of creation. And you think about light, think about the importance of light in our lives. You know, it is all of earth, all of life is essential to light. And when we're thinking about light, we think about the rays from the sun. We think about the not only the visible light, but also the invisible light that we receive from the sun. You know, imagine a world without light when it's where it's all darkness. I read somewhere that if the sun was removed from the atmosphere, from the solar system, there would be no life in this world within 3 days. Everything would be gone. You think about the sun, what all the sun does, and all of our life revolves around the sun and its light. Light illuminates an area. We have light so we can see. We can see our surroundings. It reveals our surroundings. Light reveals details. It's only because of light that you can see the buildings next door. It's only because of the reflection of the light rays. We see colors because of light. Light guides. And you think about the lights that they use to guide. You think about in the oceans and in the channels going out. We have a lot of bays in our area, a lot of waterways where we live. And there are lighthouses along the shore. They're there to warn of danger. But you also have buoys that are marking the channels as they come in up the rivers. And the lights guide and show the channels. You see a red on one side and a green on the other side, and you know to stay in between. You have traffic signals that tell you when to stop, when to go. You have, as we were driving up here last evening, and it was foggy some places. You know, we were very thankful for those little reflectors on the road that reflected light back at us, because it guided us along the road. Without those reflectors, it would have been very dangerous. I drove through Mexico one time, and it was very hard to drive at night because you could not see where the edge of the road was. Light communicates. We have traffic signals again. Tell you when to go. Tell you when to stop. And then we think about fiber optics and the way that they use light to communicate. And they can communicate so much more than they can through electric wires, and so much faster. Light promotes life and growth. In all of nature, we see that. We see that how plant life gets its growth from light. Use the process of photosynthesis to create its food. We have solar energy, the solar panels. It creates energy from that. Light, when it interacts with you as an individual, it produces a vitamin that your body needs. Your body is dependent on light. The water cycle of the earth is fueled by the light and the heat of the sun. It takes the light and the heat from the sun to evaporate the water, the moisture, to create the wind currents, to bring that moisture over land. That whole water cycle is fueled by light and the sun. Light provides warmth. It regulates the earth. The sunlight regulates the earth's temperature. Sunlight also sterilizes from disease. You have articles of clothing that are in the damp, and they can transmit disease. But you bring it out in the sun, you let it dry out, and the sun sterilizes it. So light, as we know it, as God created it, is very essential for human life, for the life on this earth. And Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world." So when he said that, should we feel good that we are the light? That we are the source of life for this earth? What did Jesus mean when he said, ye are the light of the world? Because elsewhere in John 1, he said, John the Baptist was come to bear witness of that light. I'll just look at that. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, so that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was a true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And John 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So why did Jesus say, ye are the light of the world, when elsewhere he says, I am the light of the world? In John 9, verse 5, Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So Jesus is the light of the world. He is the light of life. He is the one that brings life to the world around us. But he said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. This verse infers that while Jesus is gone, and then we have the verse in Matthew where it says, ye are the light of the world, that the church is to be the light of the world. He says, ye are the light of the world. Isaiah prophesied about Christ when he said, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. And that's talking about Christ when he came. Jesus is the light of the world, but he has called us to be his lights while he is gone. And you know, we are only lights as we have the light of Jesus shining through us. When God created the world, he created the sun to shine at day, and he created the moon and the stars to shine at night. And the moon provides light to the world at night. But the moon does not provide the light of its own. It is reflecting the light of the sun. And you know, that is what we are today. We are lighting the world not by the light that was within us, but by the light of the sun. The light of Christ shining through us. We are reflecting bodies. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 6 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves ye servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So this light is not of ourselves, but it's as God has shined into our hearts, the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So we need to remember that our light only comes from God. And we are reflecting the light of Jesus to others. So how do we let our light shine? You know, our light is to shine to draw attention to Jesus, our King. So how do we let our light shine? The first point I have is that our light is to shine collectively. Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And when you think of a city, there are a lot of lights in a city. There's many, many lights that shine together that make a glow in the skyline. As you're driving through the countryside, and there's not very many people around, Where we're at, it's not quite as much that way, and here it's not as well. But you go out west, and you drive down the interstate, and it's dark. And you see a little light here, you see a little light here. You see a lot of little pinpricks of lights that are shining. And those lights have their place. And each one of us is a little pinprick of light. But you know, when we're by ourselves, we're like that little pinprick out in the darkness. And we have a light to shine. But Jesus said, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So up ahead, you know that you're when you're coming to a big city, when you see this, the clouds are starting to light up. And you see this glow. And as you come closer, you see all these lights shining. But it looks like a collective light. And I believe that Jesus intends for us to let our light shine collectively. As a church, as a body of Christ, many lights lighting together make a city. And when we go back to the Beatitudes, when we live out the Beatitudes, we shine. We are shining as lights to the world. We shine by our love for one another. John 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. You know, the love between brethren is a very beautiful thing. We have all different types of love in this world. We have, we have the love that comes by just association. You may not necessarily call it love, but, you know, there's a kinship when people work together for a common cause. And you have the love that is, or the natural affection that comes from a family. But when people from all different backgrounds, all different personalities, come together and they have one common goal in serving Christ, and their love for each other exceeds all other love ties, then that is a light to the world. It says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. We shine by our unity with Christ. John 17, verse 21. Jesus, as he was praying, he says, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. You know, this love that we have for each other produces a unity in the body of Christ. And that's what Jesus was praying for. He was praying that the church might be unified as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as they are unified. It says, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. And we have the first practical application of that in Acts, verse 4, Acts chapter 4. It says, the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. There was a unity in the church at the right after Pentecost. They were unified. And we see how the church grew by leaps and bounds during that first time. We shine by doing righteousness. Now, you cannot work out your righteousness. I mean, you do work out your righteousness, but we aren't righteous by just doing those things. You are righteous because you do things because you're righteous. But in 1 John 3:10, he says, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So we shine by the works of the righteousness that we do. It says, in this the children of God are manifest, that whosoever doeth not the righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. We also shine by working our salvation in fear and trembling. Philippians 2, 12 through 15. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, as the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. He says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And you know, there is an aspect of salvation that is not dependent on our works. But there's also an aspect of salvation that we must work out. We must work out the faith and the belief and the obedience to God's will, the committing of ourselves to God's will. Those things in themselves will not save us, but they are a very real part of our salvation. He says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, among whom, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You know, we also shine and get and shine the light as we flourish where God has placed us. You know, God has brought us to many different callings in life. He has given us different corners to live in. You know, in the community where we live, God has placed us in different areas. And you know, many times we would choose a location, what we would call the ideal setting to live in. But you know, we may not be called to live there. And I had to think about that as I stayed at Sonny and Judy's last night. You know, knowing Sonny as a boy, he likes his woods and he likes, you know, plenty of place to roam around. And I doubt he would have chosen that where he's living as his first choice. But you know, God placed him there. And as he lives there, he can be a real light to his neighbors. And I don't know where the rest of you all live, but God has given us different places to shine in, different corners to live in. I had to think of the children's song says, "Brighten the corner air where you are." We don't do ourselves a favor when we chafe at the place where God has called us. We have different corners to live in our occupation, differing roles. Each one of us has a different role in the occupations that we live. But every one of us has a place that we can let our light shine for Christ. Some are leaders in their occupation. Some are technicians. Some are workers. Some feel a role that is more visible. Some feel a supporting role. But everyone has a place to shine for Christ. You know, thinking of our social statuses, and in the land of America, we don't think about social status as being anything that is evident. You go to other countries, and it's definitely much more marked. But you know, as we live in our circles, we all have different status in our circles where we act, and that's many times in relation to our personalities, to whether we're outgoing or whether we're not outgoing. But you know, we shine as we flourish where we are fallen to those lines as well. And many times young people or even older people, they try to break out of that mold. And they get into, and they get into maybe a position that they're not naturally comfortable with. But you know, if we allow God to flourish, if we allow God to use us where we are, when we shine for Him, we shine as we flourish in the church involvements that God has placed us. You know, some involvements are more visible than others. And the Apostle Paul brings out the picture of the body. Says, can the foot say, because I'm not of the hand, I'm not of the body? You know, he can't. So I'm up here speaking, you're back there listening. Well, each one of us can shine in our area. And many times I'd rather be back there listening. But you know, I need to do what I can do. I need to fill the role that God has called me so that I can shine where God wants me to be. Faithfulness in every station of life is a very real aspect in letting our light shine. Because when I chafe at where God has placed me, then I'm not letting my light shine for Him. So back to Matthew chapter 5. He says, turn this back to here. It says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. You know, Jesus, when he is using this this illustration of putting your light under a bushel, I don't believe he's saying that we can put our light under a bushel, because our light, if we have the light, is meant to shine out. But we can't hide our light. But rather, if our light appears like it's going under a bushel, it's because our light is becoming dim. Our light is flickering and becoming dim. So, you know, what are some of those things that can, in effect, put our light under a bushel or can cause it to go dim? Well, I believe it's the opposite of the other things that we had mentioned. Lack of love. When we don't have love for our brother, when that happens, then, you know, bickering starts to come in. Mistrust. False assumptions. You know, that's all because of lack of love. And it will cause our light to go out. Individualism. You know, there again, I believe the Christian life was intended to live collectively within the Christian community. And as we relate to the brotherhood, we let our light shine. But an individualistic spirit will cause our light to flicker. Because a very real part of Christian life is submitting to our brotherhood. You know, God can place us. God has places many people to where they are shining as a pinprick in the dark. Where they're living their light alone. And God can use them. But we need to seek to live in a collective body within the Christian community. And when if God places us within a Christian community, then we don't try to pull our light out and live separate. When we have the opposite of the Beatitudes, when we're not poor in spirit, when we are not meek, then that causes our light to go out. And he says in Matthew 6, verse 22, he says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? You know, someone that once knew Christ and their light was shining, when their light flickers and goes out, it's almost a darker light than before. Because when people expect light to be shining from my life and it's dark, it's just it seemed like it's a much greater darkness. You know, you think about the moonlight when it's full moon and you can see and everything else, and you're used to that, and then something comes and puts out the light of the moon, either a cloud or whatever. It's dark, and you realize how dark it really is. You know, I think that's the way it is when our light goes out. 1 John 2:9 says, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Makes a real connection here between loving your brother and hating your brother. And if you have hate for your brother, or even if it is in the beginning of stages of dislike and can't appreciate your brother, you know, our light is going to dim. He that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. In verse 13, he also likens us as salt. He says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? You know, salt is used as a preservative. And that's another aspect of the church as well. It's used as a preservative to keep things whole, to keep decay from setting in. It says, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? So how does salt lose its savor? Salt, if you think of it in chemistry, it is a stable compound. It is not a compound that degenerates very easily into something else. So the way that salt would lose its savor is either through dilution. If you have salt and you dilute it, and you dilute it with water or whatever, you know, you'll get to a point to where it's not very salty anymore. Or it's lose its saltiness through contamination. So, you know, as Christians, as we think of our Christian life, is our Christianity diluted with worldliness? Are we promoting a diluted gospel? Or a gospel that does not have the full commitment or the full discipleship that Christ would call us to do? You know, I believe that is a diluted gospel. And when we do that, we lose the salt, the saltiness. Or is our Christianity contaminated with spots of iniquity? 1 Peter 2:13, he talks about men that are part of the church, but they says, they shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. You know, so if we allow iniquity into my life, then I am losing my saltiness. And I believe as a church, we also have a collective responsibility to maintain the purity of the church. Because we can lose our saltiness as a congregation if we allow knowing sin in the church. Right after the lesson today where the children of Israel went and they surrounded Jericho and they had that great victory, they went to fight another town. And they were defeated. They could not have victory because one individual did not obey God's command. One individual went into Jericho and he took out what he was not supposed to. And that affected the entire congregation. So the last point I have is the effects of our light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, our good works are not the light, but rather the light of Jesus shining onto my good works, shining onto my life, glorifies God. When people see my life and they see my commitment to Him, they see my devotion to Him, they see the outworking of the salvation, and they recognize it as not coming from me, but as coming from God, then that lets our light shine and it brings honor and glory to Him. I appreciate the sign that I seen out in the front of your church. The light of the world is Jesus. You know, the church that is here, you are a light in this community here. But this light is not to say, look at those good people in the church here. It's to point people to the light of the world. That is Jesus. And that is our responsibility in our calling. When the light of Christ is shining brightly through us, then we illuminate the darkness that is around us. We expose sin that is around us because of our life, because of our teaching. We illuminate the darkness around us. We also serve as a guide to searching people, guiding them to Jesus and to the cross. People that see our lives should be able to know where they can go when they need to find peace and happiness. But you know, if that peace and happiness is not evident in my life, it will not be a guiding light for those that are searching. We will also promote growth in the lives of our fellow believers. The light of Jesus shining through us should promote growth in my fellow fellow believer. We will also give warmth to the Christian fellowship of the local congregation and the broader church. We'll give warmth to the Christian fellowship and to those that are feeling the coldness of sin, rejection, or loneliness. You know, as we meet people around us, and as we let our light shine, they ought to be able to feel a warmth that draws them away from the coldness of their situation. From the coldness of sin, from rejection or loneliness. Something that draws them to Christ. And most importantly, God is glorified. You know, that is to be our calling, is to glorify God. And at the end of life, when we come to the throne of God, it won't be whether we have done all these things, but it'll be that God is glorified. That He is the one that that we have brought honor and glory to Him. And that's all that's going to matter, is when He is glorified. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father, we thank You for Your love and Your mercy this morning. We thank You for each one that is here. We thank You that You are the light of the world, and that it is only through You that we have life, that we have strength. We pray that You be with us now as we go from here. We pray that You would bless the words that You have shared with us today. May we each apply it to our hearts and our lives, and may each one that is here allow the light of Your truth to shine in their lives, and that they in turn might be a light for You. Go with each one, bless each one. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.